Hey folks, it's Adam Summer with the Heartland Pod. I've got three more interviews for the Missouri House Candidate Series coming up real quick here. Hey there, welcome back to the Heartland Pod. And for the first timers, welcome in to the Heartland Pod. This is Adam Summer. I am your host. Thanks for joining us. This is August 18th, 2022. More than 2 years into this podcast world, we've been rocking and rolling. Today's show is a Let's Have a Chat special. It's the Missouri House candidate, the Democratic candidates for Missouri House. I have three more for you. We had three back on Tuesday. If you haven't checked out Tuesdays, you can check it out with Adrian Plank, Andy Layton, and Ann Zimfer. Today, we have three more, and I've got Leslie Darrington from the 96th District. I've got Doug Mann from the 50th District, and I've got Bernadette Holzer from the 143rd District. So all three of those folks coming up for you. You know, each one is a nice, tight, short interview, so you can learn about these three folks and you know what they stand for and how you can help them out if you have the time or ability or the money. They're going to need it. So reminder, you can find us online with heartlandpod.com. And if you like what we're doing here, if you want to help us out, go there, click on the Patreon button, become a subscriber on Patreon. We have extra episodes for our subscribers over there, and every little bit helps us out. And find us on Twitter with @theheartlandpod, TikTok with the same, and Facebook and Instagram. Let's get to the chats.
Let's have a chat.
All right, we're here for an interview with the Missouri House series of interviews that we're doing, and I have got Leslie Darrington. She's running in the Missouri 96th District. Leslie, thanks for joining me. Thanks for taking time. How are you doing today?
Thanks so much for having me. I'm doing all right. How are you?
Not bad, not bad. This is interesting. So I'm doing a lot of these back to back. So this has been a cool experience to do on this end. And so, you know, folks will hear them kind of chopped up, but it's a very interesting deal. So the 96th district, where is that?
I live in St. Louis County. It's sort of close to the city. It's Crestwood, Sunset Hills, Oakland, part of Fenton and Sappington.
Very good. Very good. Best known for those of us outstaters, best known for that area you drive through on your way to the Cardinals game. So
old Route 66. Yeah. there.
So what is it that leads you to run? What gets you, you know, away from family and everything else that's normal in the world and gets you running for office into this insane asylum of politics?
Yeah, I'm really learning that. Several years ago, I started with advocacy. I have a daughter with a rare disease. And when she was born, it was a terminal diagnosis. We got her into a clinical trial. And through that, they have discovered a treatment that had a profound effect on the lifespan of the kids with this disease. So I started by going to Jeff City to advocate for newborn screening. And then that led me to Washington, D.C. to spread it to the rest of the country. And then from there, I started volunteering with Sierra Club and Moms Demand Action and just trying to make a difference, I suppose. Yeah. This past January, when the new maps came out, I discovered that I was no longer in the very comfortable district of 91 with Sarah Unsicker as my representative. And
smart cookie, that Sarah Unsicker.
She's wonderful. So I was happily living in her district. And I discovered that there were only two Republicans filed for District 96 and no Democrats. And I made the decision that if we're going to have any change in this state, then we need to at least have a Democrat in each district for people to vote for.
Yeah, makes a huge difference, a huge difference. So what do you think qualifies you to represent your district?
You know, I am a I'm a big proponent of public education. My degree is in elementary education. And just over the past year or so, with all this nonsense about CRT and banning books and attacking, you know, LGBTQ plus kids, I'm just sick of it. And as a parent, I am feel compelled to stand up and you know, just not let those voices win out.
Yeah, it's amazing how much you'll sort of, you know, go along to get along, but it does feel like this last year and a half or so, it has really, the Overton window has shifted, where, you know, it's one thing to say, oh, these liberal teachers, okay, whatever, you know. But when you start attacking them personally, and then you kind of flip it, and now it's like they're bullying children in the attack. And it's like a whole other tone that's going on with this. And now it's, you know, if you're a kid who reads, you know, a book that somebody happens to not like that you're reading, suddenly you've caused a controversy for reading a book. And it just feels, I wish silly applied, but it's like past silly, like it's not, really, you know.
Agreed.
So what's the issue? What's the thing that, you know, it's a hot day to be out there canvassing, or, you know, it's just a bad day to try to, you know, you're feeling beat down, but there's something that gets you to put one foot in front of the other, pick up the phone and make a constituent phone call or knock a door. What is it that keeps you going?
Honestly, like, I just want, I want my children to see a future for themselves here in Missouri. Well, if that's what they choose.
That's a powerful statement, to see a future for themselves. I mean, that really, 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 really undersells, you know, like, you're not just saying, like, I want them to see a positive future. I want them to see that they might want to live here at all.
Right. Yeah. You know, as a family with a disabled daughter who has ambitions of her own, Missouri is not very friendly for our disabled community members who want to go out and have a job and own a house and get married and enjoy all the same freedoms that, you know, everyone else seems to enjoy. So I guess a pet project for mine would be to finally get a Medicaid buy-in program here in Missouri, because we're one of the very few states that doesn't have a program like that. And not just have that, but have a really good one, so that, you know, there are these really strict income caps on people who are capable of working, but they just need help. You know, my daughter can't get herself out of bed. She'll have to employ someone to do that. But Medicaid is the only avenue that she would be able to get that sort of help, unless she were to be a multimillionaire, and we are not. she doesn't have any family money coming.
Yeah. There is that funky gap. It's something that I have personal experience with. And I remember, you know, my daughter, when she got qualified for Medicare or Medicaid, and we got the spend down letter. I don't know if you've had this experience, right? They send you the letter that says, well, once you spend this much money, then we'll start covering stuff, and this is your monthly number. And ours came in, and her monthly number was like $3,400, you know, per month out of pocket. And then you can have coverage. And it's just like, it's a joke. I mean, it's a complete joke. My wife's a teacher. We have good insurance, and yet, you know, none of that. But, you know, so we had to go through the waiver process and go through all of that. And that takes all kinds of time. And you got to really, really work the system to get yourself where you need to be.
Yeah.
While this profoundly, obviously, like, nothing about her would tell you that she doesn't need help. She, like, clearly needs help. And yet we make it virtually impossible for folks who don't know how to fill out the right forms and talk to the right people.
Right. Yeah, you shouldn't have to get a lawyer in order to get healthcare to keep your kid alive. I mean, it's a really cruel system.
That's kind of what I've said. It's part of what kind of spurred me into action doing this stuff is, you know, we used to get, folks would say, boy, she's really lucky to have you guys as parents. And I am a lawyer. My wife's got a master's degree in education. And it just sort of struck me as odd. And I finally had that exact response of like, that shouldn't matter. Like, you shouldn't have to have parents who happen to be completely versed in the system to make the system work.
Right.
Like, you shouldn't have to have a dad who sits down with the, you know, the state provider and cross examines them to make them read their own regulations. Like, it shouldn't right. work that way. And yet here we are. So what do you think makes you the right choice for your district? You've got a Republican opponent. So why are you the right choice for the 96th district?
You know, as a, my district has three really great school districts. The people in this community are really proud of their public school system here. My opponent has children that go to private school. And I am fearful that, you know, he's going to start trying to push more public money into private schools. Right. And that is just something that District 96, I don't see that being a popular stance to take here. We're really proud of our schools here.
Yeah, this Trojan horse of school choice that when you dig down into it, it doesn't take a lot to get under the surface. And under the surface, it's pretty obviously a shell game where it's just moving money from public school into private pockets. I mean, it's
right.
They're not even really hiding it past the label.
Right.
So how can folks get a hold of you? Website, Twitter, email, stuff like that. What's the way to get a hold of you to help out?
You can go to my website. It is Leslie Darrington, LeslieDerrington, 4, just the digit 4, mo.com. You can contact me through that website. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter.
What's the Twitter handle?
It is...
That's like your own phone number. Nobody actually knows them.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a great question.
Here, this is great podcasting. I'm going to find it right now.
Twitter is not my specialty. I am not someone who is naturally drawn to social media. So.
No problem. Well, I see your name, but I can't find a handle. So it's not a big deal. We'll edit this part out. So don't worry about it. All right. Last question. How can folks best find you? You mentioned the website. I assume that's the best way, but when they do find you, what's the best way to help? Is it donations? Is it door knocking? Is it phone calls? You know, what can folks do to make sure that we can get you across the finish line and send you to Jefferson City?
Right. Yeah. All of the above, whatever you feel comfortable with. We have a great group of volunteers that are starting to get out and knock doors, probably like 5-6 days a week now. We're doing phone banking. If you want to make a donation, I will happily take your money.
I assume that's set up on the website for folks to.
It's all there on the website. And we're really responsive. Like I said, we've got a great team over here, and we're just trying to have some fun and, you know, save democracy here in Missouri. Let's rebalance Jeff City.
Yeah.
There is a South County DIM Day of Action coming up on August 21st, and that information will be on my website.
Excellent. We'll encourage people. This will come up before that, so we'll encourage people to check that out.
Wow.
And very, very good. Well, Leslie Darrington, awesome to talk with you. Great to meet with you. And I look forward to talking with you in Jeff City.
Sounds great. Thanks so much for having me.
All right. We have one of our Missouri House interviews here with Doug Mann. Doug is the candidate in the 50th district here in Missouri for the Missouri House. Doug, thanks for joining me. Thanks for taking the time. How are you doing out there today?
Doing pretty good. Just got the news about the Trump warrant going public, so I've been reading about that.
Yeah, we're recording this Friday the 12th, so that's the backdrop of the day. So the 50th district, we were talking before we hit record here. Let folks know, where are you covering with the 50th district?
So the 50th is essentially the southern third of the city of Columbia, and then it snakes up to the east side where Old Hawthorne is, and also includes some parts of unincorporated Boone County, but not a lot of unincorporated Boone County.
So what is it that led you in the first place to run for office? What got you to put your name in?
So I've always been pretty involved politically. Growing up, my mom was very involved in politics, and she was a single mom. So I got dragged along as a four-year-old to different political events. So the importance of being civically and politically engaged was ingrained in me from a young age. And when my wife and I moved here so that I could go to law school at Mizzou, we fell in love with the area. And I kind of see this as a way of giving back to the community that has embraced my wife and I so warmly.
So what is it that you think? You mentioned you went to law school at Mizzou, M-I-Z, right there with you, buddy. So what is it that you think qualifies you to be a representative for your district?
So I believe that I have a variety of experiences that will allow me to kind of give voice to issues down in Jeff City that people might not be able to give voice to as well. For example, I was a teacher for 6 years. So speaking on education issues, I have firsthand experience with having to, for example, buy supplies and resources with the money in my own pocket.
Yeah.
Or having to fight with administration over certain issues. So I have the ability to speak to that. Plus, I work as an attorney in employment discrimination. So when it comes to workers' rights and protecting workers, that is something that I deal with on a daily basis. It's something that I believe that I'll have the ability to speak to pretty proficiently down in Jeff City.
So what's the issue for you? You know, you're knocking doors. Sometimes they're getting slammed in your face, right? Sometimes it can be frustrating. It's hot, it's rainy, whatever. What is it that keeps you putting one foot in front of the other? What's the issue for you that will always get you going?
For me, that's going to be education funding. One of the things that I like to tell people when we're on the doors, when I taught in Chicago. And in my sixth year as a teacher, I was making more than a teacher with 20 years of experience and a doctorate will make in the city of Columbia.
Yeah.
And
if which is saying something, because if anybody knows Missouri education payment wise, Columbia is a pretty good city for teachers comparatively.
Yeah. And if we're not paying our teachers well, that we're not going to be able to recruit the talent, we're not going to be able to retain teachers, and our students are going to suffer for that. And if we aren't putting the money into other things, such as making sure that those teachers have the resources that they need, that the infrastructure in the schools is up to date, especially with technology, then those teachers that are there aren't going to be able to help the students reach their full potential.
So you mentioned that you're doing employment discrimination. How do you think that that layers over to assist you in, you know, if you were to make it to the Missouri House?
So right now, workers are under attack on a bunch of different fronts. I'm going to be going to a rally on Saturday of organized labor with the university, dealing with their paid time off. And while I might not know each and every single employment issue in depth every single day, I like to say that I speak the language. And that ability to speak the language is going to give me a leg up when it comes to understanding legislation, writing legislation, and trying to get things passed that are going to benefit Missouri workers.
So this particular district is an open seat this year in the 50th itself. You do have a Republican opponent. Looking at the Ballotopedia, your primary votes would suggest that you have a very good shot in this race and perhaps even our favorite in this race. But what is it about you versus your opponent that makes you the right choice for your district in the 50th?
I think that just an understanding of issues and the ability to empathize across socioeconomic and cultural lines are two things that separate me from my opponent. For example, he spoke at an event recently where he wanted to do away with personal property tax. which, if we know anything about taxation, is probably is the way that we fund our schools. But it's also one of the ways that we are able to create a more equitable society by having those who have a lot provide resources for those who do not. And understanding those issues and having the empathy to work on those issues, I think, is something that separates me from my opponent.
So I've got you on Twitter with @man with two N's, @man4mo50. How else can folks find you if they want to help out? And what's the best thing that you could have right now, whether it's money or door knockers or, you know, how can folks help you right now and how can they find you?
So right now we are in the middle of 105 degree days. So I would like to have people out there knocking doors, but I understand the hesitancy to do that. But volunteer hours and money are always helpful. And you can find more information about that at manformo.com.
Excellent. Well, Doug Mann, the Missouri 50th District, we wish you the best of luck out there. And I look forward to getting to do this again, but in person in Jeff City next time, sometime next spring. Sounds good, right?
Yep, sounds good.
All right, we're here for one of our Chats in the Missouri House series of chats. I've got Bernadette Holzer. She's running in the 143rd district here in Missouri. I actually wrote in my notes 143th, so I had to edit that in my head, but I said it out loud anyway because it was funny to me. Bernadette, thanks for taking the time. Thanks for joining me. How you doing there?
Good. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah. So tell us about your district. Where is the 143rd?
So the 143rd district includes all of Texas County and Marys counties and the western portion of Phelps County. And it's all a beautiful, beautiful area down here in southern rural Missouri.
So what is it for you that got you to do this? Because it's not an easy thing. It's not, you know, there are some great things that come of it and some friendships to be made and all that stuff. But what is it that leads you to run for office?
I think that that's the question that I get most. And I'm happy to answer it. I've been following politics pretty solidly for a good 10 or 20 years of my life, probably a little too much. You know, I've become addicted to the news like a lot of people have. And I kind of set that aside for a while for my own mental stability. And a friend of mine who is running for Senate as well has been sort of encouraging me to do this for the last 4 years. And I've always said, no, absolutely not.
Wait, so who are we blaming?
This time, with everything that I've seen, well, I'm gonna invoke the name of John Keeney here. He's okay. He's also running for Senate.
Yeah.
And he's been a great influence and a great help to me and just sort of a mentor. And he's just an amazing guy. So, and I'm not going to blame him for it or let him take all the credit for it either, but he's a good friend and he's been encouraging me to try this for a while. So I figured that it was time to step up, even though I'm not, you know, I don't have a poli-sci degree or anything like that, but I've become more aware of everything that goes on within, you know, the back curtain spaces in politics. And I've realized how ultimately important it is for people to step up in every district so that we have someone to run for, you know, on each side. And so one of my reasons for doing this isn't just for myself and my family and my daughter and my sister and my mother, but also for the state of Missouri and the country as a whole, because I believe that people need options. And in Missouri, I really hope that even just the awareness of people running in little red places like this will encourage others to run for office in the future. So
that's it makes a huge difference, right? I mean, the modeling aspect, showing folks that it's okay to do it, showing folks not to be afraid of it, that it's not going to hurt you to do it.
Yes.
And that you should do it, that it's an important thing to do. I mean, it makes a huge difference for folks just to see it. I feel like that's a huge problem in Missouri is just I'm struck by this old, it's an old Family Guy joke, where he reads the thing that says, I'd be more apathetic if I weren't so lethargic. And it's just,
right.
So, you know, you just get used to the fact that nobody's running and then it becomes normal. And once it's normalized, you know, it becomes easier and easier to make excuses. And so if we get rid of those excuses and normalize running, you know, people are so afraid of losing political races, but you can't win if you don't run, right? It's like playing the lottery.
That is for sure. And, you know, you don't need a lot of political experience to do this. I don't believe you just need to have, you have to have drive, mm-hmm. passion, the energy and the wherewithal to just see it through, at least for one cycle, see if it's for you or if it's not for you.
Right.
But I mean, I am bitten now by the bug and I am not anytime going to give up or ready to quit. I think I'm in this for a while. Well, because I think it's going to change politics, but I think it's going to take a while to do it.
Yeah. And we've certainly seen, you know, you talked about, I don't have a political science degree. I don't have this type of experience. Look, you know, anybody who's paying attention to what's going on in the state government, the state of Missouri, it's very clear. You don't have to understand how government works to be in the government. I think many, many of the folks who are part of the ruling party right now have exhibited the fact that knowing how it works and actually wanting government to work is not a prerequisite to holding office. So, that shouldn't stop anybody.
Think that you're accurate on those accounts.
So what do you think qualifies you, though, to represent your district?
Oh, my goodness. Well, okay. So I live on a hay farm. A lot of people around here are hay farmers. I haven't lived a farmer's life forever. I'm originally from St. Charles, and then I lived in St. Louis for a long time. So I'm sort of a transplant, but I've lived here for 22 years. Mm-hmm. I raised my daughter here her entire life. She's now 17. I love the country. I don't ever want to leave the country. I would like to be able to stay here. But it's a very different kind of environment than what I grew up with, you know, which was a lot more liberal and a lot more open-minded up in St. Louis. And I got kind of used to that. So when I came down here, it was a little bit of a culture shock, but I now live on a hay farm that belongs to my family. And most of my neighbors are cattle farmers and we work with them, provide them with our hay, local farmers markets and so on. And I've noticed that in my travels lately that there are a lot of small farmers that need help. They need a lot of help. And I realized how important small farms are. So that's one big thing for me. And the agriculture and the environment is probably the most important thing for me. So I'm very encouraged about the, you know, the Inflation Act that's going on right now and hopefully will be passed today in the House. I don't know if it has yet or not. I've just now checked the news and I haven't checked it again in a few minutes. Yeah.
But we'll know when this comes out. So it sounds like that maybe my third question is, what's the issue that really drives you the most? And it sounds like that sort of that environmental ag combo seems to be your sort of, you know, that thing that'll keep you putting one foot in front of the other, so to speak.
Yes. The environment, I would say, has probably always been my number one concern. But I, of course, now I have other concerns. I'm very concerned about women's rights and reproductive rights. I'm concerned about, you know, marijuana legalization. I'm concerned about agricultural and environmental effects on my community. I'm very, very involved in what's going on with healthcare, because my entire family is affected by that as well. And I know so many people out here are. So those are the big ones for me.
So what do you think makes you, I assume that there's a Republican running in your district. So what do you think makes you the right choice for your district over your opponent?
To be honest, I probably know more about politics than he does. I believe that I have interacted with more people on foot and on the phone and in person face-to-face than he has even tried to in the last, you know, cycle here. And I believe that there needs to be major, major change going on all over the country. It needs to start from the ground up, and it can start in little bitty red places just like this as easily as it can start in places like Washington or New York.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It's kind of the theme of this particular conversation now. I mean, that really is I've said several times on the show, one of my least favorite phrases is blue dot red state, because it is an inherently isolationist phrase. I think it is more designed in a way that actually is hurts than helps. And I love the idea of connecting the dots and making a web, because if you look at it that way, it looks a lot different as opposed to just little specks, throughout the place. And that really is what we have, is we do have a web, and there's a way more folks, around you that probably agree with you than you realize. But if over time, if you're told over and over again and you internalize that it doesn't matter to speak up because there's not enough of you, then you don't even look around and see. You don't even notice it anymore.
That is exactly correct. And I think that there are, I've met more Democrats out here than I knew that there were in this, the closest city to me, which is not really a city, but right. I'm about 20 miles from anywhere. But I've met people in Houston and Kabul and Bell, Missouri and Vienna, little places like this where there are big groups of Democrats coming together that want to hear what I have to say and are interested in change. I'm not sure that they believe it quite yet, but I believe that they're getting there because they see a little bit of hope.
Yeah.
And so they're really trying to get active again. And I believe that they will.
Yeah, we're in that zone where it's like, look, we know we have a headache. We've been taking all this Tylenol. It's not working. Maybe we try some. Right. Let's just try a little ibuprofen, see how she works, right?
Right.
Let's give it a go.
I mean, you never know what's going to happen. And when I first started doing this, I was told all you need to do is have your name on the ballot. And I thought that was kind of funny, because now that I look back on that, that's not all you have to do. No. I mean, there's a lot of work to be done. Yeah. And I am enjoying doing it, actually. I am enjoying meeting all of these new people and making new friends with the candidates that I've been hanging out with. And it's really a movement that you'd have to be sort of at one of the protests or one of the meet and greets to kind of see and feel. But I'm telling you that it's happening, and it is really happening in a big way. It's starting small, but it's gaining speed quickly. So, please, if you're out there and you're listening and you're interested in meeting any of us candidates, come to one of our meet and greets and, get to know us. We're just human beings, human people, just like you. And we would love to meet all of our constituents, every single one.
So speaking of finding that kind of stuff, how can folks find you and how can they best help?
The easiest way to find me is on my website, which is holzerformissouri.com, spelled all the way out.
H-O-L-Z-E-R-F-O-R.
Z as in zebra. I know that's hard to hear over the phone sometimes. People always ask me how to spell it. Is it Holder or Holzer? It's Holzer. And then people are always, always welcome to email me, and you can find my email address on the website, and I'm always willing to talk to anyone personally. And the way that I could use help the most is through volunteers. I have a volunteer group going, some wonderful volunteers on it already. Support in the way of finances is always important, of course. We hate asking people for that, but that's what we really need to get our name out there. Signs and things do cost money. And there are a lot of other Democratic sort of groups that you can donate to just to help the cause in general. I mean, it doesn't have to just be me or just your favorite candidate. It can be all of us.
Yeah.
So I would take a look out there and find out. But if you're interested in finding more out about me, just go to my Twitter page, which is Holzer4Mo, or my website, which is holzerformissouri.com.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, Bernadette Holzer, thank you very much for your time. Thanks for joining me on the pod. Best of luck out there.
Thank you.
And I look forward to talking with you in Jeff City.
Thank you. Anytime.
The Heartland Pod is a production of Midmap Media, LLC. Follow us on Twitter with @TheHeartlandPod. With email, you can reach us, heartlandpod2020@gmail.com, online with heartlandpod.com. Subscribe, and please sign up for our Patreon with patreon.com/heartlandpod. Become a podhead or an official podgressive today and unlock all of our content. See you at the next show.